From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
Russia's Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov is spending most of the week in the Persian Gulf area. On Monday, his travels took him to Qatar, where he met with that country's Foreign Minister Mohammed bin Abdul Rahman bin Jassim Al Thani. The two held a press conference following a working meeting in Doha on Monday morning.
Ladies and gentlemen, Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, thank you for the talks we had today. Mr. Lavrov's visit to Doha is the next step in developing our bilateral relations based on the understanding between the leaders of our countries. Today, we covered all the different areas of bilateral relations, including the economy, sports, military cooperation, defense contracts. In recent times, relations between Qatar and the Russian Federation have been improving. We are grateful to Russia for playing a role in resolving certain issues. We appreciate Russia's position and the message that Russia sends to various players in the Middle East. Also, during our meeting, we discussed issues of mutual interest, primarily Syria. We talked about the situation on the political track and developments in northern Syria, the situation on the ground. It is Qatar's position that political solution, political settlement is the only possible solution, and that it should take into account the interests of the people of Syria. We also discussed Libya. We discussed the need to restore security in this country. We need to unite the government, unite the military, strengthen the government system of Libya. We also exchanged our views on the Palestinian issue, on the peace process, and our joint efforts to overcome the rift between different factions among Palestinians. We stress the need to overcome this division. We appreciate Russia's efforts in this matter. When Russia hosted the meeting of various Palestinian factions, we appreciate what Russia does for Palestinian factions to engage in talks with Israel as a unified platform. And we are also interested in developing our bilateral ties. Ladies and gentlemen, first of all, I would like to thank our hosts for their warm welcome, for their hospitality. Today, we had detailed talks with the deputy chairman of the government, the foreign minister of Qatar, and earlier this morning I met with the emir and gave my the greetings from the Russian president Vladimir Putin to him. During the talks, we reaffirmed that we are all interested in maintaining political dialogue, which is mutually beneficial, to extend Russia-Qatari cooperation in various areas. we agree with our Qatari friends that we need to further develop trade economic ties between our two countries. We welcome efforts taken by our bilateral trade commission, which will meet the next time in Moscow on April 10th. Also, simultaneously, we'll have the 4th Arabia Expo and the meeting of the Russian Arab Business Council. We believe that the Russian Direct Investment Fund and the Qatari Sovereign Fund are working together well, and the stake of the Qatari fund in Rosneft. We also pointed out that there are other oil companies, Lukoil, Zarubezhneft, Gazprom, Novatek. All these companies are also interested in considering joint projects with our Qatari friends. We will coordinate our efforts on the international energy market. And this includes gas-exporting countries forum in Doha. After this event, I will visit the headquarters of this organization. I will meet with Yuri Sinturin, Secretary General of this organization. We also mentioned that our countries have been working together in sports. After Russia's success with the World Cup in Moscow, the next World Cup will take place in Qatar in 2022. And we pointed out that the organizing committees of the two countries are in close contact. We are ready to share our experience and share our recommendations with our Qatari friends, share the solutions that worked during the World Cup in Russia. On international issues, we paid special attention to the situation in the Middle East, of course, the Middle East and Northern Africa, primarily Syria, Libya, Somalia. We believe that we need to stabilize the situation in these countries as soon as possible based on international law through an inclusive, all-encompassing peace process, which should be closed, though, for extremists, regardless of whatever slogans they use. We also talked about the Palestinian conflict. We believe this conflict should be settled based on international law, and we believe that Palestinian unity should be restored as an important condition for engaging Israel in direct talks. We also discussed the situation in the Persian Gulf. Russia is genuinely interested in normalizing the situation, and I mean all the different aspects. This includes the ideas that Russia has been promoting in recent years as part of its concept of collective security in the Persian Gulf, which is a strategic region of the world. Once again, I would like to thank our Qatari friends for their warm welcome, and now I ask my colleague to pay a visit to the Russian Federation whenever that would be convenient for him.
مرحبا هيثم ابو صالح قناه الجزيره سؤالي طبعا لسعاده الوزير لافروف.
A question from Al Jazeera for Minister Lavrov. Vladimir Putin has invited Benjamin Netanyahu and encouraged him to normalize the situation in the Palestinian territories. Several days ago, we saw reports that the Russian president may go to the region, especially to Qatar. And I also have a question for the Qatari minister. Has there been any progress at the talks to normalize the situation in the Gulf? And did you talk about this to Minister Lavrov? As regards the visit by Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu to Russia, of course, we discussed the situation with the Palestinian-Israeli settlement during this visit, and we reaffirmed our position that Russia is interested in overcoming the current stalemate in this settlement, and we reaffirmed that the Russian Federation is ready to host a meeting between Israeli and Palestinian leaders, Benjamin Netanyahu and Mahmoud Abbas, so that the two can resume direct dialogue without any preconditions. This is what Israel asked us about, including Benjamin Netanyahu himself. And Mahmoud Abbas also agreed with that. So the offer is still on the table. We believe this would be an important step towards rebuilding trust, at least. And without trust, it would be impossible to expect further progress in the Palestinian-Israeli settlement.
يعني لم أسمع الترجمة بشكل جيد ولكن لم تجبني حول سؤال زيارة نعم زيارة الرئيس الروسي إلى قطر والمنطقة.
Please repeat once again because I had Arabic in my earpiece.
نعم أود أن سألتك حول زيارة للرئيس الروسي فلاديمير بوتين.
Question about President Putin's visit. Russia's ambassador to Qatar said that the Russian president may visit the region, including Qatar. Do you know anything about the dates? Well, I thought this was a question addressed not to me. The emir of Qatar has invited the Russian president to visit the state. He accepted the invitation, just like invitations from some other countries. Well, it's up to the protocol services of the leaders of these countries to determine when such a visit might take place. Now, as for your question on us making progress in dealing with the crisis in the Gulf and whether I raised this issue in talking to Minister Lavrov, we haven't seen any progress as yet. Sabah, the Kuwaiti emir, hasn't been able to make much progress. Still, we are ready for dialogue, and the U.S. is taking certain efforts to stop this confrontation in the Gulf. Yet, there hasn't been any progress, and we don't see any signs of improvement in dealing with these conflict with our neighbors. The position of Qatar has been clear from the very start. We are ready for dialogue. And we will be ready as soon as the countries that impose this blockade on us are ready, yet they refuse to talk to us. We shared our vision of the current situation with Russia. We believe that this has negative effects for our entire region. And we hope that together we'll be able to improve the situation in the Gulf and in the Middle East in general. Mr. Lavrov, in your talks with Qatar, did you talk about creating a working group to normalize the situation in Syria? When do you think such a group can start working, given regular provocations by Tahrir al-Sham, which still control a large part of the area north of Latakia and Hama provinces? And my first question for the Qatari minister, has there been any progress on reinstating Syria in the League of Arab States? Well, the answer is very brief and simple. We did not discuss this issue, and I don't think we need to set up some working groups for Syria. We have the Astana process, where the government and the armed opposition, with the mediation of Russia, Turkey, and Iran, are engaged in a dialogue, and this dialogue has been quite successful. We see tangible results. And we also have representatives of the UN, Jordan, and formerly the United States involved as observers in this process. Later, the United States dropped out of the meetings in Astana. And we may have some more observers later on. We also have the special envoy of the UN Secretary General for the Syrian settlement. And there are countries in the region that want this crisis to be resolved as soon as possible. We are in contact with all our partners in the region. We are not limited to the Astana format. We work with all the key countries in this region, all the countries that can have and which can contribute to resolving this crisis. We also contact with the so-called small group, including Western countries. We worked with Turkey, France, Germany. We had a summit in Istanbul of these four countries, Russia, Turkey, Germany, and France. And we also have a channel we use to discuss the situation in Syria with the United States for the military and for our foreign affairs services. So we do have a network of contacts which eventually should bring about results. I don't think it makes much sense to set up an additional artificial working group, but formally we still have the International Syria Support Group, which was set up by Russia and the United States together with the UN. We haven't had plenary meetings of this group for a long time, but then there are two subgroups created by the International Syria Support Group. There is a group for ceasefire and a group for humanitarian issues in Syria. So these two subgroups regularly meet two or three times a month. They meet in Geneva, and there are representatives of over 20 countries in those groups. These include some regional players, Western countries, Russia, China, Iran, and others. So I don't think there is a shortage of mechanisms. It's just important that all the countries follow Resolution 2254, just like we do in the Astana format. We want the people of Syria to resolve all the issues themselves, and nobody should stand in the way, like when our Western partners did late last year when they insisted on postponing the formation of the Constitutional Committee. We are not hysterical about it. We'll complete our work in the Astana format, and we hope that the UN colleagues will soon realize the need to bring about this mechanism as soon as possible. Thank you. You asked about reinstating Syria in the League of Arab States. Our position remains the same. We think that we haven't seen anything happening on the ground that would make us change our position. And we certainly want to have a government in Syria which serves the interests of all the people and protect the people of Syria.
Two questions for both ministers. Last year it was reported that Qatar was buying S-400 defense missile systems from Russia. This caused some problems with Saudi Arabia. I just wanted to ask what the status of that deal is. Have they been delivered? When will it be delivered, if not? And do you expect more military deals between the two countries? Secondly, ongoing in Doha at this very moment, there are talks with the Taliban. Previously, Russia hosted talks with the opposition. I just wondered if both countries believe there will be a favorable outcome with regards to these talks, which you're both involved in. Thank you very much.
Regarding the arms sales of that Qatar has with Russia or with any other country, we believe whether it's Saudi or...
As regards agreements between Russia and Qatar or Saudi Arabia, we believe that this is a sovereign decision to be made by each of the countries. We didn't talk about this. We only talked about the technical issues of our cooperation with Russia. We don't have any particular vision regarding S-400 systems. We have technical teams, specialists, talking about various options. What would be best for all the parties? We have channels we use for this kind of cooperation. And as far as we know, these groups, these teams, will submit their proposals based on the needs of Qatar. Next, you asked about the talks between the U.S. and the Taliban in Qatar. These talks continue.
We are going to continue coordination.
As regards our contacts with Russia on this issue, we have special envoys and special channels of communication, so we keep talking to Russia. We want all the forces that want to see peace prevail in Afghanistan, all should work on this, and we believe that the Afghan problem can only be resolved peacefully. And we hope that these talks, as my colleague has said, regarding our defense contracts, it is regulated bilaterally. 6 months ago, we signed an agreement on defense cooperation will proceed based on this document. So whenever there are requests by our Qatari friends for defense contracts with Russia, we will consider those requests. And as regards Afghanistan, we do follow, we do monitor the talks between the United States and the Taliban. Representatives of the Taliban have visited Moscow as well, since sometimes we host events to mobilize the international community, especially countries neighboring Afghanistan, helping them to launch a political process. So in the past, when we just started this work, our U.S. partners even accused us of violating a U.N. Security Council resolution, even though everybody knows that the United States itself was talking to the Taliban. Now it's all over, and the Washington Special Envoy for Afghanistan, Mr. Khalilzad, regularly meets with my deputy. They have a good contact. And I think this is very useful. Instead of being rivals and having this kind of artificial competition, we should work together because the United States, Russia as a neighbor of Afghanistan, other neighboring countries, we can all help the people of Afghanistan to launch this national dialogue, which alone can resolve and stop this conflict. Igor Zhdanov, Russia Today. I have a question for Mr. Lavrov about a different region. I would like to ask you about Venezuela. John Bolton, U.S. Presidential National Security Advisor, says that the U.S. follows the Monroe Doctrine. Do you think it is even legitimate to refer to this 19th century doctrine? Well, after the UN was set up in 1945. International law has been regulated by the UN Charter. This is the universal and most legitimate organization. And this backyard theory and practice is openly offensive. So I believe that responding to such an arrogant statement by John Bolton, this is up to Latin American countries, whether the Monroe Doctrine can be applied to Venezuela. Actually, he insulted all of Latin America, especially since a few days ago we heard an official threat coming from that Washington saying that Cuba and Nicaragua are next, that Venezuela is not the end of it. So it's up to the countries of Latin America to consider this policy. And I know John Bolton well. I'm familiar with his statements. Just recently he tweeted that Maduro lied about Russia providing medical aid to Venezuela. I don't know where he gets his facts, but some time ago we did provide Venezuela with a shipment of medical aid through the World Health Organization and the Pan American Health Organization. This was 7.5 tons of medical supplies, so it's not a lie. John Bolton probably heard this from somebody else. Probably he was misinformed, and he immediately circulated it worldwide. So I would stick with facts. And we are concerned by U.S. intentions in Venezuela. I openly told Mike Pompeo about it when he called me a couple of days ago, expressing his concern about the Venezuela government threatening Mr. Guaido. I told him the United States threatens all the people in Venezuela, asking the military to forget about its oath and inciting a rebellion. So if anybody should refrain from threats, it is the United States that should do it first and foremost. Thank you.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.